Good morning, church. First of all, I'd like to welcome everyone. Thank you so much for being with us today. You should be very encouraged because you're the remnant. You're the last standing. So be encouraged and thank you for joining us for this service. I really appreciate it. First of all, the title of today's message is The Ten Virgins. As you probably know already from the previous Sabbaths, we are looking into Jesus' parables. So today's parable is The Ten Virgins. It's a very interesting parable. I know that most of us know it, but today we're trying to look at a different side of it. If you open your Bibles in the book of Matthew and chapter 25, right, that's book of Matthew, chapter 25, and verse 1, and from verse 1 to verse 13. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be like to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil for our lamps. For our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you, go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterwards, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." So this parable is a very typical wedding story. Jesus is talking about a wedding. It's a traditional wedding where we see the virgins are girls waiting for the bridegroom. The bridegroom is coming, and they're going together to a wedding. Now, before I go further to the story, I want to share with you one personal story of my life. Now, I had a lot of crashes in my life, multiple car accidents. I'm very famous with that. I'm not the best driver, let's say that way. Driving too fast and not very, I would say, risking too much sometimes. I try to be a better driver when I drive with my family, but when I'm driving alone, you don't want to be in that car. So I'll tell you one story. Some years ago, I was living in Nottingham, and I was driving in the city center. The city center was full of cars, traffic everywhere, cars everywhere, buses, all kind of vehicles, and it's really jammed. And as always, another very bad habit which I was doing while driving, my boss texts me a message. He was asking me something. I don't even remember what he was asking me. So I'm driving very slowly, and with one hand, and with the other hand, I'm texting my boss. So my eyes are not on the road, they're on the phone, and just texting. And I will say, you know, I'm just driving with 5 miles per hour, that's nothing. You know, I can drive a little bit like that, it's not a big deal. Nobody's seeing me while I'm doing. That was before the law came, the law now changed, and you're not allowed to use your phone while driving. But a few years ago, you were actually allowed to use your phone while driving. So the law changed recently, a few years ago. And I thought, you know, it's not a big deal. I'll just, you know, just text my boss because he was texting me something. Suddenly, just while driving, just I felt it. I didn't saw it. Bang! I hit the car in front of me. And I hit it quite seriously to that point that my car was really damaged. The whole road, everybody stopped. And the car was a lady with three children on the backside. So it was a terrible story. I was just so annoyed. I was absolutely terrified what happened. And I was really annoyed to myself. I was really angry to myself. It was a really stupid mistake. But the lady was an Asian lady. She was really a kind lady. And I started apologizing to her. I apologized like a million times probably. And she was really, really kind. She said, don't worry, you know, these things happening. She didn't have that much damage to her car, obviously, because she was driving a German car. I had a lot of damage on my car. and I offered her to pay her for her damage, and so she doesn't call the insurance company. I didn't want her to call the insurance company, and she agreed. I offered her some money. I spent a couple of £100 to pay her, and the whole story was fine. She didn't have any problems. She was fine. The kids were fine. Everybody was fine. Now, why I'm telling you this story, the only reason that I had this car accident, completely the only sole reason that I was having this car accident, first of all, I was driving very slow. I was just 5 miles per hour, probably even less. We were barely moving. The only sole reason that I had this car accident was because I was not paying attention. I was looking stuff which I shouldn't look. I was doing stuff which I shouldn't do while driving. And my eyes were not where they should be. My eyes were here instead of there. And that was the sole reason I had this car accident. And it was very annoying. It was very unpleasant. Hopefully God, the great thing about this story, God intervened and he made sure that all of us are fine. The kids are fine. The wife, you know, the lady was fine. I was fine. Everybody was fine. But because, as I always say, cars are replaceable. People are not replaceable. Cars are replaceable, but people are not. But it's a very annoying story. And the sole reason I had this situation in my life is because I was not very careful. And I was not doing what I was supposed to do. In this story, the parable for the 10 virgins, I'd like to point three important points, lessons which I learned for myself, and hopefully we can talk about those three lessons. And when you leave today, to leave today of church with these lessons in your mind. If you don't remember anything else, just remember these three things. The first thing is the attentive in attendance. Now, as we all know, it's not a good thing if you are present somewhere, but you don't listen in what is happening, you don't watch what is happening. We all know that when you go to school, to university, you need to interact. You need to listen. You need to take part in the exercises. You need to do your job. Just being present there is not enough. You're not going to get a good grade only if you go to school and sleep all day. It's just not going to happen. And if you're not doing what you're supposed to do, looking where you're supposed to look, and doing what you're supposed to do, and paying attention, it's just not going to happen. You can't graduate university or school like that. Paying attention is what keeps us prepared for what is to come in our life and what will come in our life. If we are not paying attention, we can't prepare. How can you prepare for something when you don't actually know what is happening? You're not careful, you're not paying attention, you're not learning, you're not preparing, you're not studying. In this parable, we see pure division between five virgins, five bridesmaids. Or five of them were faithful. They were prepared. They went to the feast to wait for the bridegroom with some oil. Now, something important in the verse, which probably one of the most important verses in this parable, this is verse 5, which is saying, but while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. Now the first thing, all of them were sleeping. So They were exhausted eventually, and they start, you know, sleeping and doing something else. But the bridegroom was delayed. I heard so many times people saying to us, yeah, you know, I know, you know, you believe, you Christians believe Jesus is going to come second time. But, you know, everything is the same the way it is. You heard that expression, everything new is just something old which is very well forgotten. And a lot of people use this kind of expression to say stuff like, oh, you know, nothing will change, nothing is changing, nothing changed during my parents' time, nothing changed during my grandparents' time, everything is the same. You know, it's just nothing will happen. And this is the way how a lot of people believe and live their life. They say, no, nothing will happen. Many people regard the Bible as just a book of tales, not as a true things. They don't even believe in the Bible. And while the bridegroom, while Jesus is delaying his coming and he's still not coming, people allow themselves to sleep and to ignore the signs of his coming. They're ignoring the truth and the signs that Jesus is coming very soon. And this is the big division here. People who are preparing for his coming, or whenever he comes, and people who are not preparing. We see bridesmaids which are not taking the oil. They went to the feast without any oil. They thought, oh, I probably have enough in my lamp. I don't need to take extra. But another five who actually took some oil with them and said, look, I don't know when the bridegroom is going to come, but I'm going to take extra oil. So in case he doesn't come straight away, I've got enough oil. So we need to think about that. Paying attention to what is happening around us, what is happening with the world, is something important. I know that many people say, I don't like watching the news because they depress me. I heard it so many times, people say stuff like that. Yeah, I do agree. News are not the most pleasant thing to watch, but you have to know what is happening around you. You need to know what is happening with the world. Today we live in a world where there is too many signs already unfolding in front of our eyes, which cannot be ignored. We can't ignore them. And if we ignore them, it's just completely our fault, because we've done it to ourselves. Now, when you go through the story, another very important point in this story, you go to the story and you see eventually there was a midnight cry, and that midnight cry was, behold, the bridegroom is coming. This is a very beautiful story, this parable, but this parable is exactly explaining what is happening in the last days. It's explaining exactly what will happen and what will happen to us if we're not prepared. The midnight cry, we can refer to the so many signs around us which are showing that Jesus is coming soon. There are so many prophecies which are unfolding in front of our eyes. Have you ever, you know, I listen all the time people saying, not only on telly, but people in newspapers saying, I never seen stuff, the turmoil in political world, in the economical world, which is happening today. 2008, as you remember, we had 2007-2008, we had a major financial crisis, which many people said, oh, we never expected that to happen. Now, many financial experts today, people who are not Christians, who don't talk about Christianity, they just say it from their personal analysis and from what they know, is that we are actually on the verge of financial crisis. Many people ignore this, but unfortunately this is the truth. There is so many signs. And so many people say today, oh, I never expected something like that to happen in our politics or in the economy. And these are all signs to stuff which are going to come. And in the parable, when the bridesmaid heard that midnight cry, what happened after that? Five of them just woke up and they were ready. The other five straight away said, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. We all know what is deadline. Deadline is something, unfortunately, we don't like, but it's something which is, we have deadlines all the time. You have deadline when you're in university, you have deadlines when you're in school, you have deadlines when you're at work. There are certain targets you need to fulfill. You have even deadlines in your house. I mean, you can't choose to pay your gas bill whenever you want. You have to pay it to a certain day. If you don't pay your gas and electric bill to a certain day, you get a penalty, or they'll start charging you extra, or you have a phone call or letter from the gas company. There is deadlines in our lives, in every single thing. And we don't know when is the deadline for Christ's second coming. Some people try to predict it, some people say all sorts of stuff, but the truth is, the Bible says, nobody knows the day and the hour of second coming of Christ. But we know that there will be deadline when the door will close. The door will close where people were not going to be able to repent, and even if they repent, there will be nobody to intervene, nobody to forgive their sins. So there is a deadline of the probation time. And as you know, there is two ways your probation and our probation time can finish. The first way is with our death, when we die. That's deadline. And the second deadline, just before the coming of second Christ, just a little bit before that. And again, we don't know exactly that moment. Now, to be honest with you, our death is way much closer, because you can die any moment. You can walk out from this church and die straight away, have a car accident and die. So many people die every single day. How can you know when you're going to die? Nobody knows when he's going to die. Nobody knows. And this is why we need to be prepared every single day. Now, to make the deadline, we always need to be prepared, and we have to prepare on a daily basis. Now, sometimes I know it's very difficult, and some people say, well, you know, I have other things in my life. I need to wait until I make decision for Jesus. I know for a lot of people, the Sabbath is a problem. But in the end, you need to choose what exactly you're trusting and you're believing in. If you know that your life is depending on these prophecies, would you play with your life? You wouldn't. I would say that we live in between times. In fact, our life today is between times. We live in between the times of the first coming of Jesus, when he came in flesh, and the second coming of Jesus, when he's going to come in glory. And we need to make the most of these between times and to prepare. So if we're ready, we'll be inside of the kingdom, not outside of the kingdom. Now, since we don't know when that final day will be, we must to live in a constant state of preparedness. I know some people say, well, how can I live in that constant state? It's not that difficult. Every single day you pray and you evaluate your life. You pray and repent for your sins. If you repent every single day of your life for your sins, and you're always ready, you'll be ready. Now, in the book of Isaiah, in chapter 55, God is very clear. The message is very clear in that verse, what actually God is saying to us. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, in verse 6, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. It's very clear. Seek the Lord when you can find him. Don't seek the Lord when it's too late. Some people delay it. Call on the Lord when you're healthy, you're well, you can do it, and you can make a decision for Christ today, not tomorrow. Now, there is something which is very important as well in the parable, in the parable for the 10 virgins, and this is the borrowing of virtue of other people. Now, we live in a very materialistic world, and people believe that they can buy everything, and you can buy everything with money. People say you can buy houses, businesses, governments, you can buy people with money, you can buy marriage with money, you can buy love with money, and this is the way many people believe and many people live their life. They think, I can buy everything with money. As long as I have money, I can buy everything. But unfortunately, there is certain things which you can't buy. And you can't borrow and you can't buy from the preparation of other people. Now, if somebody is prepared for the second coming of Christ, you can't go and borrow some of his preparedness to use it. It's very interesting for me in the parable when the other five, the foolish virgins, they went to the other five and said, give us some of your oil. Give us some oil so we prepare as well. You can't borrow from other people. Preparedness can neither be transferred neither or shared or borrowed. Two other things we cannot borrow are faith and character. Faith and character are stuff which you develop in your life. You can't go and borrow from other people's faith and from other people's merits. This is something you need to grow in yourself, something you need to work on. It doesn't matter how much money you have, what is your health situation, you can prepare yourself. Until you're alive, you can prepare. Now, the five foolish virgins were excluded because of their own neglect. They didn't prepare initially. They after that decide to go and buy a certain amount of oil, but it was already too late. It's well known that there will be time in human history where people might turn, a lot of people might turn to Christ. People might turn to study the prophecies. They might look into the prophecies, but it might be too late. Now, today, when we talk about the prophecies to people, people say, "Ah, oh, this is like fairy tales. Is that what you mean? That the world will end one day? How the world is going to end?" But to be honest with you, especially lately, I hear all this because I watch what's happening with these environmental changes and with a lot of scientists, which are not actually Christians, and they saying that actually there is expiration date of our world. And so many changes are happening in our world, and eventually it's quite possible, even they say it, not based on the Bible, or based on their research and on their calculations, that the world will end. Because our planet is too polluted, our nature is too much destroyed, and as you know, especially our country here are taking really very seriously that and in doing a lot of changes to actually, you know, to reverse that. Is it going to be reversed? I don't think it will be reversed with recycling or with stuff like that. So it is our duty to prepare when it's time to prepare, when it's available to us. It's very obvious in this parable that Christ is the bridegroom and the church is the bride of Christ. When Jesus Christ comes back, those who are not prepared for his second coming cannot borrow from other people's merits so they can be saved. So when Jesus comes for second time, you're alone. It's down to you. Your life will be evaluated. Now, the third lesson which I want to share with you is in John chapter 8. Jesus say about himself something very important. You go to John chapter 8, and that's verse 8, chapter 8 and verse 12, actually. John chapter 8, verse 12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Then you go to Matthew chapter 5, and verse 14 to 16, which is saying, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Not do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light to shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. The opportunity for our to be witness to Christ is today. We need to witness. Jesus is the light, and we are the light if we believe in Christ. And when we let Jesus in our life to control our life and to transform our life, we are the light of this world. We are reflecting His light. As Christians, we are the light of the world, and when we let Christ to come and transform our life, we can not only transform ourselves, but actually help others to transform, because other people look to us as an example. They see what we're doing in our life. There cannot be such thing as pretenders in God's kingdom, or fake Christians, Christians who pretend to be the light, pretend to look like people with the light, people who are ready. Pretenders are, there is no place for pretenders in God's kingdom. And there are people, a lot of people who believe that there is other ways of salvation. You can do this, you can do that. But we know what is the way for salvation. The Bible talks about it so many times. It's through faith in Christ, repenting of your sins, and allowing that light from Christ to reflect and to reach other people. This is very important. The opportunity to get things right is today. It's not tomorrow. It's not 10 years down the line. Nobody knows what is going to happen. We live in a very uncertain world today. A lot of the things we believe, which are like a foundation of our society. I just recently spoke with a lady who was sharing with me about her pension, and she was saying stuff to me, how little pension she's getting. She was paying all her life, 40, 50 years in her pension, she was, and she's getting just nothing, next to nothing. I know for another story, for a gentleman who was actually in the fireworks service, and he was paying, again, massive amount of pension all his life. Now he gets next to nothing. A lot of the things in our life which are foundation of our society, we think, I'm going to pay 40 years and I'm going to get a good pension and I'll retire. We see that the world is changing. We live in a difficult world. Things are changing. People are left alone. And what we used to believe as a security of our society is not a security anymore. So it's time for us to take this opportunity and to make things right now, not tomorrow, not in 3 years. And we shouldn't be pretenders. And if we know that somebody is a pretender in our life, we need to do everything in our power to help that person. I hope that message will stay with you, and these lessons will stay with you when you leave today. May God bless you and give you the wisdom to carry on your life and to take the opportunities while they're there. Thank you.
Drop of oil. lead us to